Welcome back to Out of Focus. Today's episode is tender, sacred, and one I believe will minister deeply to so many of you listening. I have a very special guest, Kat. During COVID, she and her family all got sick, but her husband's illness took a devastating turn. He ended up in the hospital, and tragically, he passed away. Kat is still walking through the reality of grief today. She's here not to just share the heartbreak, but also the love she carries for her husband, the honesty of what grief really looks like, and the ways she's wrestling and leaning on God in the midst of it. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Shannon.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I think the world of you. You have the most sweetest spirit. You have the gift of encouragement. You are a ray of sunshine.
I'm learning from the best.
I don't know about that, but we really appreciate you at Be Renewed and just all the things you do. So
thank you. I appreciate that. And it's wonderful to be here. I love your Out of Focus. I love your podcast. I love your story. You have such an amazing testimony that I think it really speaks to a lot of women. So I'm really excited that you're getting it out there and getting other people's stories out there too.
Thank you so much. I know that your story is going to touch a lot of hearts today. And the first question I always ask everyone is, can you tell me a moment or some kind of time in your life when you were out of focus?
Do you want it to be about the
Anytime.
Yeah. Because I think I was really thinking about it mostly about, it's coming up, tomorrow will be 4 years since I've lost my husband. And so being a widow kind of has engulfed my existence for the last 4 years. And one of the times recently that I've been out of focus was I had a lot of anger toward God about losing Howard. I felt like he almost did it to me. That's how I felt. And I know that's incorrect. That's not the way to think. But I was just like, oh, you know, he could have saved him and he didn't. And so my entire life was turned upside down. And I remember I would just be so angry and I was screaming at God in the privacy of my bedroom. And I just felt like my relationship with God was out of focus.
Hey, we all have those kind of stories, whether or not they're from us losing a spouse, but definitely times where we've been out of focus. So tell me about your husband. How did you guys meet?
Oh, we met through a video dating service.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Right? Was it like a dating app that you like put your profile on there?
Yeah. Well, okay. It wasn't an app because this is pre-app. So this was in the 90s. And I was out in California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And he was living in Silicon Valley and I was out there living in San Francisco and I joined a dating service and you go in and you film yourself and you talk about yourself and then they have it on file and you go and you read like these profiles, you make a profile for yourself and you go through these 3-ring binders and look at profiles. And then if you like someone, you go pick up their video and go into a private room and watch their video.
What? I have never heard of this.
It was so bizarre.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
It was like I joined and I went on all these dates and they were all first dates. And I had 100 first dates, like literally. Okay, you look great on paper. Your video looks great. It's like, yeah, we have nothing in common. Mm-hmm. So it was like at the end of his time, like you buy a year membership or something. It was the end of his time. It was the end of my time. And he was like the last guy I called. And
wow.
Yeah. And he was like, he came in, he said, I know I had given up on it, but decided to just check it before my membership expired. And he got my phone call. And so we started talking on the phone and we really hit it off on the phone. And then I said, well, come up to the city and we'll have a date. And he said, okay. I said, now you're from Texas. And I went to college in Texas. I went to Southern Methodist University. And so I said, you got to wear your cowboy boots. And so he's like, okay, I'll wear my cowboy boots. I said, I'll meet you at Nike Town. Nike Town is a four-story Nike department store in Union Square. And so I was standing outside Union Square. I was listening to my Beats or whatever we had at that time, whatever the technology was. And I see these cowboy boots coming toward me. I'm like, oh, that's him. And I look up and we looked at each other and we had a great time. And since I lived in the city, I knew everywhere to go. So I was dragging him up and I lived in the city. So I walked the city. My calves were like rocks because up and down all the hills of San Francisco. And this poor guy, he did not wear his cowboy boots very often. And
did his feet hurt?
he said he was in so much pain.
Aww, but he did it for you.
But he did it for me. And so when I went back to walk back to my apartment, he was walking back to the parking garage. We left each other and then we both turned around and looked at each other. And I was like, and that was it.
What was it about him that you liked? What were some qualities that he had?
Oh, he was just a genuine person, really caring. And I'm a writer and I'm an introvert by nature. And I'd rather spend time with a book than a person because it's like social anxiety. But he was an extrovert. Like he was an extrovert on steroids. And he and all my friends are extroverts because they make me go do things and hang out with them. And it's great. But he actually turned me into an extroverted introvert. So now I've got more extroverted skills because I was just like so taken with him. He had so many stories and he would just talk and it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm an extrovert introvert. So
are you? Yes. Oh, so you get that.
I do. I completely get it. I can only be around people so long because then I have to recharge.
Right.
It like exhausts me if I'm around them too long.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I
enjoy it and I love it and talking like, and you are very animated and talking.
Yes.
So yeah, I totally get that. And then you just like, okay, I got to go like hide in a room.
Yes. Yes. What do you remember most about the season of life you were in before COVID hit?
Wow. Oh, my kids were in high school and we had just moved into a big new house, like my dream house, like literally my dream house. And life was good. I had a small group and we were traveling, we were going on dates and doing things with the kids when they would allow us to.
Because they're our kids.
We're in high school.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of those firsts, the first cars for the kid, getting the driver's license, getting the cars, getting all those kind of first things with the kids and the first 18 years old and that sort of thing. So it was a fun time. It was really good.
Aw. Can you take us back to the moment when everything changed, when your family got sick with COVID?
Yeah. It was 2021. Things were kind of lifting at that time. And our kids had been through the ringer. My daughter graduated high school in 2020 in the middle of COVID.
Oh, wow.
My son graduated in 2021, still in the middle of COVID. And I was just like, we've got to take a vacation. And we had an RV travel trailer that we hooked up to his truck. And I said, let's just go to Florida. We need a beach. I need a beach. I was a beach girl. I have to have go to the beach like at least once a year. And so he's like, okay, yeah, let's do this. So we got the kids and I made them drive separately because I was like, let's have fun in the car. We can talk. And so we went down to Florida. We had a great time, Panama Beach, and just really fun. We did amusement parks. We did crazy things. We went to the beach. My husband and daughter went parasailing. I mean, there was just a lot of fun things we were doing as a family. And then we came back and it's like, we were just like, okay, we're home, unloading the trailer, cleaning out the trailer, doing all that. And my daughter's like, I don't feel well. And I was like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You probably got a cold or something. Go lay down. And then she's just like, I really, really don't feel well. And I was like, ooh. And I was like, well, maybe you better go to urgent care. So she went to urgent care and she had COVID and she came home and she's like, I've got COVID. And I'm like, oh, and then we all started getting sick. My son didn't get sick hardly at all, which was a blessing because he was able to take us to the emergency room when we needed it because we got really, really sick. I think we had the Delta
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. I just remember I was like in and out of a fever state, that kind of fugue state that you get into. And so, yeah.
So you guys were all in the hospital?
My husband and daughter and I went to the ER, and we were there all day, my daughter and I. But then they discharged us, but they actually transferred my husband to a larger hospital.
And so what happened there? How long was he in the hospital?
He was in the hospital about 4 days.
And were you able to see him during this time?
When they moved him into ICU, they allowed us to come up there. And it was literally a God moment where we got up there and then we're like, yeah, we've all had COVID. And they're like, you can't be here. And I'm like, but you told us to come. And so it's like, they didn't know we all had COVID. So they were like, okay. So they were double, like putting on double gloves, double uniforms, double masks, double everything. We walked in there like mummies. It was like crazy. They had already intubated him. And so I was able to make a phone call to him before they intubated him. And I was able to get the kids and I on a speakerphone with him for a few minutes. But then they said, yeah, we got to intubate him now. And so, of course, when we saw him, he was unconscious because he was intubated. So we spent some minutes in there. And that was it. That was the last time we saw him.
Wow. In the first days and weeks after his passing, what did the grief look like to you?
It felt like I was falling. I felt like I was just uncontrollably falling, and I could not think. I just couldn't think. I think I was so in shock,
mm-hmm.
and still probably a little sick at the time.
Did you have to force yourself to do things, or were you just like almost frozen?
Because the kids were still in high school and my daughter has a cat and I have two dogs, it kind of forced me to, I got to make sure there's food on the table. I have to feed the dogs, let the dogs out. So all these responsibilities that I had helped keep me grounded at that time, where I just would have been in bed.
Yeah, I can see that. What do you find yourself missing most about him today?
His gregarious style, his personality, and the way that people were just drawn to him.
I love the way you talk about him. You light up. I can see the love through your eyes, through your disposition, what you say about him. It's just so special.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss. When you become a widow, you don't quite understand that your entire life is completely changed. Like everything. It took me a while to go to the grocery store. I had to avoid certain aisles because those were I would get his, you know, equal. He had to have equal in his coffee. And it's like, I couldn't go down the sugar aisle.
So is it like a form of PTSD almost? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Like it would trigger something. And then those emotions and those feelings from remembering that he, you just buried him would come flooding back.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like we couldn't return to the church. I couldn't return to the church where we had been. And actually it was hard for me to get back to church.
I can understand.
Yeah.
People sometimes think that grief is linear, but it often comes in waves. What has surprised you most about your grief journey?
I think it's the unexpected grief that you think you're going along, everything's fine. I've got a few friends that were going out tomorrow night because it's the 4-year anniversary, you know, the big dates, you got those handled. But then like a random Halloween will knock you on you're behind. And I wasn't expecting that. I think it's those unexpected moments where you're just like, what just happened?
What do you do in those unexpected moments?
You just write it out. What can you do?
Do you have any like scripture verses that have helped anchor you or encourage you? Or has it been people that have been able to pour into you?
My friends, I attribute my friends. They are all godly women and I've been very blessed with them. They are like jewels to me. Seriously.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They speak into me.
You touched on this briefly about being angry at God, but how did this loss impact your faith? Were there moments of wrestling and doubt? And you said anger.
Oh yeah.
So how were you able to process the anger?
Well, it was like I wouldn't have survived if I didn't have Jesus. If I don't know how people who don't have God handle grief, but there's no way that I would be standing if it weren't for Jesus. So I knew in my heart that it's because of Jesus that I'm okay and that I'm still here and that I was able to get up and put food on the table and take care of the dogs. But as far as like my relationship with God went, I was angry. I was yelling at him. So I was not in a good place. It took me a long time and he had to bring me to the place where I have to submit to his will and his will in my life. And it's not the life I had and it's not the life I want because I want my old life back. If you said, okay, like I'll just snap my fingers right now and you'll be back there, but you'll have to give up everything that you know between then and now, I'd be like in a heartbeat because I miss my life.
Yes.
But I have a new life now and I appreciate it. And I appreciate that God does have purpose for me. And so I'm trying to live out his purpose for me in his will and not be angry about it.
I understand, like questioning him, because I did that, but in other areas, I was like, why not this? Why not that? But yeah, we can't always understand him because his thoughts are higher and his ways are higher. And he has all this wisdom when we have limited wisdom. So
exactly,
we'll understand hopefully in heaven one day when he gives us the full scope of things and his perspective. But right now I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I've done this. I remember, especially in modeling, I always was wondering why he didn't open more doors. Not anything. And any close to what you've had to endure.
No, but I think we all have those stories. I mean, you have stories. It's like, yeah, why, you know, why didn't you win? Why didn't you get this contract or that contract? Or why, yeah, you know, I mean, you're a gorgeous model. You should be on the cover of Vogue. I'm sorry.
You're too sweet.
Yeah, I can understand. It's like,
I hear stories now and it's like the sexual assault or stuff with stories like Abercrombie, the CEO and stuff. So,
oh my gosh.
I don't know what I've been spared of, but I have wondered. I've had many conversations with him, but sometimes there's great peace and freedom and surrendering because we're not going to always understand the outcome necessarily. No. He may not always give us the reasons why, but he does say, trust me. And if I look at his heart, I know his heart's good.
Exactly.
And I know he loves me so much because I've been a rebel and I've wandered far. And guess who was there meeting me when I was on the bathroom floor, crying my eyes out, shaking, wondering how I just blew up my world. So when you experience his love, it's like, you know what? He knows what's best, even
he
though
does.
I don't he understand.
Does. And I think you made an important point about we have to, you know, wonder and trust that he's protecting us from something else. Some things we don't get that prize, or what we think is a prize may not be a prize at all. It could be a tarnished ring, and that's, or a tarnished crown. Is it?
Yes.
As you talk about.
Yes. Yes. Where have you seen God meet you in the middle of your pain? Have you seen him through?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I wouldn't be standing without Jesus. And even though I did have to work through my anger and understand his will, and sometimes I still question his will, I know that he has a path for me, but it's just when you're on the bathroom floor, what woman has not been on the bathroom floor in one way or another? Yeah, it could be the proverbial bathroom floor, but we've been there and we know that. We know that pain, that whether we caused it or it was happened to us. And it's just like, it's like, what is there? And there can be a peace that comes over you that is supernatural and that is just his awesome way of holding us and protecting us when we are devastated and we're down. He's lifting us up.
That's true. There's nothing like his presence. So what have people done or said that was most helpful for you? You said you talked about a community of your friends, a core group. So what were some of the things that they did in your time?
Oh my gosh. I think it was all the physical things that they did for me. They cleaned my house, mowed my lawn, made sure that I had Instacart groceries delivered because we couldn't go out. We all had COVID and it was like, how do you do this where you have COVID, you're planning a funeral, and you don't know how, you just don't know how to manage anything. And it's like, they really just came together, stepped up, and God bless them, because I don't know that I could have done it. Just going to pick out a gravestone, it's very odd when you go pick out a gravestone and your name's on it. Yes. Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, but I always knew. It's like, I, you know, I knew, I know Howard's in heaven. I know I'll see him again one day. I know I'm going to heaven. So those things are assured. So even though there's momentary feelings of, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing, or I'm not sure your will is really right, God, I might be questioning a little bit. At the end of the day, the important things are keeping me grounded.
On the flip side, are there things that people said with good intentions that actually hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Can you give some examples of what not to do when someone's grieving? Because I'm sure I've done it, but not intentionally.
Don't tell me he's in a better place. Don't tell me that he wouldn't want to come back if he could. I think that was very unhelpful. That was at his funeral by the preacher who was who said that. Yeah, that was pretty bad. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh my goodness.
This is not the time to say
no.
And I think it all boils down to when people are just like, if you need anything, call me. You know, it's like how am I going to pick up the phone and call you or text you and tell you what I need? Because I don't even know what I need. But people who know me, people who are looking at me, they know what I need and they provide it. I think it's just a matter of saying, hey, you know,
I'm coming over to mow your lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a bag of groceries. Hopefully you're home.
That's it. That's it. It's the tangible stuff. And I think that's, we know as Christians, we're the hands and feet. So we got to go be the hands and feet. And I think where we get stepped up or tripped up is with grief. Somehow, if somebody loses their job, oh my gosh, we're all over it. If somebody has an accident, we're all over it. But if somebody dies, it's, oh, I don't know what to do.
It's true.
Do the same things that you'd do if there was an accident or somebody lost their job. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. For someone listening who has recently lost a loved one, what would you want to say to them? Do you have any encouragement?
First of all, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I don't know your pain, because your pain is your pain, but I've had pain. And so I can empathize a little bit with your grief. And I just want to say, God loves you. He loves you the day before your grief, before the death or whatever happened. And then he loves you the same, if not more, afterwards, because he's helping you. And he is. He's there. And even if you don't believe in God, just trust him for a second. Just say, okay, God, I don't believe in you, but show me something.
That's so interesting you brought this up, because I interviewed my mom and she was talking about how she didn't know God, but she went on the search and she just started saying, Lord, reveal yourself to me.
Oh, and my God.
And you literally said the same thing. She's like, just show me who you are. And,
yeah.
And then like little by little, he started revealing herself. And then she goes, I want to know you. Because he says, when we seek him with all of our heart, yeah, we will find him. So she like was on, she goes, I want to know you, Jesus.
Wow. She's one of the strongest Christian women I know. She is amazing.
She loves people to know the character of God, not just like fluffy verses or verses that you can just quote, but really knowing who Jesus Christ is.
That is so lovely.
Yes.
That is so wonderful. I love that.
Me too. And I'm so glad that she taught me who I am in him. That's one thing I haven't struggled with is, well, who am I? I might have questioned it at times with different things, but deep down, I knew that I was a daughter of the King, a child of the Most High.
That's a blessing. That's a big blessing to grow up with that and have that.
It really is.
But at any age, we can find him.
True.
Yeah.
We were literally one step away to turn around and return to him. No matter how many steps we've wandered off, it takes exactly one step to exactly go back in the right direction.
Exactly.
So what gives you hope today?
What gives me hope?
Yes.
That God has a plan for my life.
He does, Kat.
He does.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
People may not know this, but you are a phenomenal writer.
Oh, you're sweet.
You make words sing and dance and they just flow. And they may not also know that you are right. You were helping me write my book. I have handed over to you.
Yes.
You are going to write it and edit it and structure it. And
I'm very excited about that.
And I am just so honored.
It's such a great story. And it's Aww. So much fun to work on it. I am really enjoying this.
This I am
so much fun. I can't believe that I get to do this.
I can't believe you're helping me. Now, do you help other writers?
I do. I'm a writing coach, so I help people with their writing. Sometimes it's just as much as like, let's meet, let's talk about your project. I'll help guide you where to go. Other times I'm doing more editing work, or I'll write some of it. For my friend Christy, I just wrote her memoir. It was a big project because she's not a writer at all. Now, you're a writer, so it's more collaboration. But with her, she's not a writer. So she would just talk and I would turn our interviews. We'd sit and interview just like this. And she would tell me things and I'd go write about it. So
that's amazing. So if somebody's interested, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, they can go to my website. It's KatherineAnnLewis.com. KatherineAnnLewis. My email is katlewiswriter@gmail.com. KatLewis, writer.
And I don't mean that lightly. Like, she really is. You have a gift from God.
I do.
You really do.
Every time I'm writing, I actually can feel the Holy Spirit working through me.
And you're his pen. I love it.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. So, you know, on the one hand, I have grief and I have sorrow. But on the other hand, I have a lot more opportunity to do writing than I did in my previous life. I did writing, but I didn't do it to the extent that I'm doing it now.
Wow. Yeah. So he's really getting you to use your gift that he gave you for his. That's amazing.
Very much so, yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to leave the audience with?
Oh, I just want to encourage everyone just to keep watching this podcast, because you're going to see amazing stories. And I think that is where I have always rested. Everybody has a story to tell. And the more stories that get out there, the more that they can be encouraging. You can find people that have experiences like you, or maybe completely different experiences that lead you to better understanding of yourself, better understanding of God, better understanding of what you're doing on this planet. And I just believe that stories are the way that we communicate best.
And it reminds people that you're not alone.
Yeah.
When I had a fear of passing out, I thought I was the only one. And then I literally had people write me and they said, I had the same fear.
And I'm like, what? Because I thought it was crazy. Why do I have a fear of passing out?
So you're right. It's a reminder that you're not the only one.
You're not the only one. No.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, for being so honest and vulnerable. I know that your story was not easy to share, but I think that your story is going to touch many lives. And it was such a blessing to have you here.
Thank you. It's been a blessing to be here. And I really appreciate the platform that you have here, just perpetuating these stories. I think they're very important. So thanks for your work.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening today. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.